You have a broken guitar? Don't fret. Take the scenic drive to Fort Atkinson to Jeff's Guitar Clinic. We'll have you fretting your guitar in no time at all. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic, we love guitars.
And welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Joining us now, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Martha Lanning. Martha, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
All right, Democratic Convention coming up this weekend. Obviously, there's an election for chair. Tell us what the theme's going to be, what's going to be going on in Middleton at the Marriott.
Well, we're going to have a large crowd at the Middleton this year, and it's all about having a fair economy for all. You know, people are really hurting here in the state of Wisconsin. We have an all-time high poverty from the last 30 years, and we need to turn that around. And the Democrats have plans on how to do that. So we're going to be talking a lot about creating jobs and being sure that people can get quality health care and that we're investing in education and opportunity for everyone to succeed. And that will help us turn our economy around.
Is that what went on in the Dells a couple of weeks ago? But the Republicans, was that their theme?
Yeah, no. I think their theme is how can we try to make what we're doing sound rosy, and there's just no way to do that because, you know, when you're trying to rip away health care from hundreds of thousands of people here in Wisconsin, you know, that's not a positive message. When you're going to increase premiums to seniors by 700%, that's not a positive message. When people with pre-existing conditions potentially won't even get health care because, boy, Governor Walker jumped on that one right away, and he backed that one down when people came and said, what are you talking about? We're already in trouble here.
You're referring to the moment when County Executive Thomas Nelson confronted him in Appleton about him inquiring whether he could rip pre-existing conditions away. Have you ever seen the governor that rattled? Wasn't that something?
Yeah, and it was, you know, the governor is really struggling because he's got a mess, and he created it. You know, here in Wisconsin, we've seen private sector job growth drop. We are dead last in entrepreneurism, where anybody who's in business like myself knows entrepreneurism, new business is where we really get job growth. So the governor has a huge mess, even on the things he claims that he can handle well. And so now he's really struggling because he has to address those issues. And we were really proud of, County Executive Nelson to step up and say, you know, here you are talking about tourism here today, but your party is going to rip healthcare out of the hands of people all over Wisconsin. Isn't that a priority for you? And Governor Walker just wanted to run away from it.
And of course, it isn't just Governor Walker running away. We have Paul Ryan, who refuses to do listening sessions. So Congressman Pocan has had to go down to Kenosha and take the people's questions down there. And the excuse I heard from Paul Ryan was, well, he was doing that to protect his constituents, and he didn't want people coming from out of state, that he didn't want them walking into a raucous situation. Well, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Well, not only does it not make sense, but all the people that showed up to Congressman Pocan's town hall, is Paul Ryan and trying to say that those constituents don't count? I mean, the issue here is that if you're going to take the job, then you need to listen to the people because that's who you represent. And Congressman, Speaker Ryan is just running away from things, and he's making some really bad decisions, and he's pushing forward bills without even reading them. And it's tragic. What has happened to the Republican Party is shocking. It's absolutely shocking. And, you know, I think if we could bring back the politicians from 30, 40 years ago, they wouldn't even recognize us as their party.
Martha Lanning with us, SlysOffice.com. The race for chair of the Democratic Party for Wisconsin, there'll be an election. It's hard to believe 2 years have gone by since your election in Milwaukee 2 years ago. What did you set out to do? What was your goal 2 years ago? And do you think you've accomplished that?
Well, we set out to build a much stronger infrastructure. I firmly believe that we need to have great candidates to run for office, but they have to have a Democratic Party that wraps around them that can help them get across the finish line. And we've made some progress on that. You know, on messaging, we now are getting out a message all over our state to all of our members. Once a week, we're telling them about the things that are going on. We have messengers that are helping us get messages out. But we have more to do in that area. And I'm working on right now on fundraising to help us amplify our message and to be sure that our message really resonates and can be localized. You know, it needs to be a message that works in that community. We're working on that right now. We really did a lot with candidate services, though. We added a candidate services department that is there to try to help us support the candidates that are in red and purple areas of our state, because we know how important it is that we don't give up any area. We need to tell people that the Democratic Party is here for working for everyone. We want to be sure that people have a living wage. We want to be sure that we're creating jobs. We want to be sure that people can know that they're going to be able to live their life, save enough so that they can retire with dignity. And right now, those things aren't happening in Wisconsin. So we were thrilled to have our candidate service department work with the people around the state that they had an opportunity. And 40% of those that went out and did the work, 40% did better than Hillary Clinton and 36% better than Russ Feingold, which we think really shows that this is a valuable program that will help get more people out to the polls. And then finally, the thing that I'm probably most proud of this year is that we just put a state organizing director in our state and six regional organizers and a constituency outreach organizer around the state, helping us make connections with all the wonderful groups that have popped up that have our values, you know, Our Revolution and FAWN and Indivisible and coffee groups and book clubs and anybody who is very concerned about what the Republican Party's agenda is doing to our state. We want to connect with them. So our organizers are out making that connection so we can bring them together and be sure that we get Tammy Baldwin across the finish line next year and be sure that we have a Democratic governor.
Midterms have been notoriously difficult in recent years for Democrats, and the turnout's always been lower. I think the Democrats back in 1968 made a big error when they basically cut a deal with Republicans that the gubernatorial term would be 4 years, but that it would be in the off year election. I think that in most cases, maybe excluding 2016, presidential years have been better for Democrats as far as turnout. How do you pick that lock other than people being angry about Donald Trump getting people out to the polls?
Well, I think we need to be sure that we're connecting with people. You know, when I went on listening tours, I did 11 listening groupings here in the state of Wisconsin, all over the state. And one thing that I really heard from people is that people just aren't informed about what the candidates are going to do to make their lives better. They're hearing a lot about other things, but they want to know about what their lives, how their lives are going to be affected.
Well, are they just waiting for TV commercials? Is that they're not reading? What is
No, I think part of it is that we don't get out there and talk about it all the time. I mean, there's areas of our state that people aren't hearing what the Democratic message is. And there's also all the big money, you know, since big money's been brought into politics, people can't trust what they're hearing. And to some degree, they're just ignoring it because they really feel, you know, a lot of people are hurting here in our state and they just don't trust that political leaders are going to be working for them. And it's our job to be sure that they're hearing what we, the Democrats, are doing for them. Because, you know, Senator Tammy Baldwin, she wants to be sure that when tax money is given out for the water restoration program here in the United States, that we want to be sure that the steel that's used is made in America. We want to be sure that the iron that's used is made in America, that we are, you know, supporting American jobs. Paul Ryan yanked that clause out of her Water Restoration Act. We want people to know that, and we want people to know that Tammy Baldwin jumped right back in and reintroduced it with that clause.
All right, well, let me take that. People need to know who's fighting for. Yeah, let me take that a step further, though. Standing on the stage when Donald Trump came and touted Buy America, and of course, there's a lot of things that he's saying that he's doing that he really isn't completing. But that aside, the whole notion of Made in America when he came to Kenosha. Standing on the stage with him was Robin Voss, who time and time and time again, as Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly, has fought back against Buy America. As a matter of fact, he's strenuously disagreed with him, saying it's picking winners and losers. Well, I thought the idea was to pick Wisconsinites and Americans to be the winners in a global economy. Scott Walker, Rebecca Clayfish, Ron Johnson, all have been against the Buy American provisions. And yet I didn't hear the press or media pointing out the conflict between what Trump was saying and the record of the Wisconsin politicians.
Well, we did. We did try to push that hard, and we did get President Trump later in the day to agree that he supported Tammy's program, quote unquote, 100%, because we did have press asking those questions here in the state, and he did finally say that. But I think for me, one of the bigger points, too, of what you're saying is, when did it become a bad thing to support your neighbor's job? What happened to Wisconsin? You know, I live in an area where we have a lot of manufacturing. I buy Sargento cheese because it helps my neighbors. You know, I like it. It is good cheese. You know, I buy Sartori cheese. My faucets in my home are Kohler. You know, it's like we care about our community members, and we do what we can to support them. What happened when our political leaders are saying that's not important? What happened? And that's why the Democrats don't believe that. The Democrats want us to be supporting each other and caring about jobs here in America, and so does the public. And that's why Democrats are stepping up and saying things like, Buy American.
It is very hard to cut through the clutter. It's also very hard to cut through when a lot of newspapers are gone or have just a shell of a staff. Television and radio stations don't have the amount of reporters covering things they used to. And then there are a lot of people that just frankly aren't reading the newspaper anymore. They're getting their information off Facebook or, you know, Twitter or some other portion. So that makes the hill a little bit higher for you to climb.
It does make it much harder. And there's, I mean, beyond all those things that you talked about, which are exactly true, there's also a whole lot of people that are working two or three jobs out there just to stay afloat. You know, just to feed their kids and keep their home. And people are just, they're tired and they're working, you know, much harder than they've had to work in the past because of the lack of good paying jobs in the state. And so we have to figure out a way to reach out to them. And we firmly believe that by having these organizers on the ground and connecting with more people, and then those people connect with more people, and we're giving out information so people know what the facts are, but they also are hearing about why we need to do the things we're doing to support our communities. We believe that person-to-person relationship is the key to getting good turnout and to winning elections for the Democrats.
You know, it's interesting. If you were to take the jobs numbers for Scott Walker and take Dane County away, and the growth in Dane County, he really would have, he has bad numbers as it is, but he would have terrible numbers. And yet the Republicans have done everything they can to sabotage Dane County. They use it as the whipping boy for the rest of the state and act as though it's some sort of planet outside the state. And yet, with no help from Scott Walker, some really innovative things have gone on with entrepreneurs and startups and venture capital and all the things that, you know, bring prosperity to a community. And those taxes pay for a lot of programs statewide, and yet they still paint Madison as something other. And it's so frustrating. But the other thing I've noticed, a couple different things, is the Republicans, you know, with this Wisconsin Economic Development Group that the governor set up, WEDIC, they have a terrible record of accountability, and a terrible record of creating rural jobs. They've not made an effort upstate to create jobs.
Well, and so two things I have to say about this. One is broadband all by itself. I mean, I live in a rural area, and when you are in rural or northern Wisconsin, southwestern Wisconsin, any of these areas that are really having troubles with broadband, that affects business. I mean, people need to have the internet nowadays in order to run effective business. And Governor Walker has not invested well in the past. I mean, in the last budget, Minnesota put $100 million into broadband expansion, and Scott Walker put $3 million. I mean, it's a travesty. And he's so far behind now just trying to catch up. They refused money from the federal government.
Right.
So he's been just causing problems for this. Secondly, you know, Governor Walker and the Republicans' goal is to pit Wisconsinite against Wisconsinite. They want northern or rural Wisconsin to hate Madison. And I know that people in Madison would love to share what they're doing that is creating such growth. And some of those things are they believe in innovation. The University of Wisconsin-Madison is a birthplace of great new business. And they want, you know, the Wisconsin idea is that the university share with the entire state. And they want to do that. But when we keep, you know, cutting their funding and we keep doing things that are harming the university system, it stops them from being able to do what we have traditionally done for years and years and years here in Wisconsin. All because Governor Walker doesn't understand how our government works. He doesn't understand how to create a thriving community. All he knows is how to take care of his big donors. And it's time that we in the public stand up and say no more. We're going to go back to the tradition of caring about our community members, and we're not going to listen to these ads being created by, you know, the big money people because they're trying to bamboozle us.
Well, the piece on the Bradley Foundation and their activities is startling. Martha Lanning with us at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
Summer is usually a great time for food choices for people in Wisconsin. Backyard gardens, farmers markets, grocery stores brimming with fresh produce. But for a lot of people, they don't have those choices because school is not in session. A lot of kids get their nutrition during the school year, so we need your help. St. Vincent de Paul has a food pantry that gives your neighbor in need some of the same choices you have. But to keep it going, we need your help, your donations, support the food pantry. And you can do one of a couple things. Drop off an extra bag of groceries from the store or your local farmer's market. Also, a $50 cash donation feeds a family of five for a week. You can organize a food drive, whatever it takes to keep that food pantry going this summer while the kids are at home. Let's do what we can. Here's what you do. You contact St. Vincent de Paul at svdpmadison.org. That's svdpmadison.org. Let's work on this together.
We're back with Martha Lanning, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. All right, who's going to be speaking at the Democratic Convention in Middleton this coming weekend, Martha?
Well, we have a great lineup. Our keynote speaker is Senator Tammy Duckworth, just an amazing woman, a veteran, that is going to be coming out and sharing with all of us how things are going in her state, but also about what we can do to turn things around here in Wisconsin. We're really excited about that. And then we also have Mayor Garcetti from Los Angeles coming out and talking with us. So we're very excited about having them. Of course, Senator Tammy Baldwin will be there. So the two Senator Tammys are both going to be there. Tammy will be talking about the Buy American Clause, and we'll have Congressman Pocan and Congresswoman Gwen Moore, Congressman Ron Kind. It's going to be a great lineup. We're very excited about having so many people there to share with everyone what we need to do to change things and to push back on what the Republicans are doing and to get us moving in the right direction.
Are there going to be any gestures there for humor? For instance, is Sean Spicer coming or Kellyanne Conway?
Yeah, can you imagine? We get a full dosage of them on a regular basis, so I'm sure there'll be a lot of comments being made about some of the things that are being said, but I think we get far too much of the tweets and the comments from them as it is.
Let me ask you about, you know, the race for chair and vice chair and what's going on. A lot of people voted in 2015. It was a contentious race. Do you see anything different this time? I mean, obviously when you ran, the previous years had not been good for the Democrats. Now people are, you know, probably going to attack you for 2016. I always look back at these things and say, okay, if somebody else was in charge, would we have had a better year? And in most cases, I would say that the chair of the Democratic Party can make a difference. But when I see the sort of waves that we've been seeing, it's very hard for me to pin it down on any one chair of the Democratic Party and what the problems have been.
Well, I think traditionally here in Wisconsin, the Democratic Party has run elections, and then after the election's over, they power down, and they have very minimal staff that's there, and then they power back up. And I think that's one of our problems, is that we need to be sure that we're getting out a message year-round, you know, every day of the year, to tell people about, you know, why we need to be working for Democratic leadership and what our ideas are and how we can work across the aisles to make our community stronger. And that's what we're doing right now with our candidate services team, with our organizing team that's out in the field. Now we're going to be adding a stronger communications team that will enable us to get that message out there. So we're making the changes necessary. And I've traveled all over the state talking to party members. And, you know, I have the endorsement of a huge number of our county chairs and endorsement of Gwen Moore and Senator Miller and Senator Vinehout and Senator Buley. I have a lot of support because people aren't looking at the results of last November. They know, we all know that was a horrendous election. What they're looking at is, do we have a plan for change? And they're seeing that we've made real progress on it, and we're just really starting to get moving now. And people are excited about that change because we know it's going to make a difference in 2018.
I'm sure you've seen the contrast with the Democratic Party in Minnesota and the Democratic Party in Wisconsin. The DFL in Minnesota almost runs like a machine. They make endorsements. Yeah. They have far more power than you do. Would you like, and I don't mean just specifically for yourself, would you like to see the Democratic Party of Wisconsin be more like a DFL in Minnesota, where there is endorsements of candidates and the party has more power?
I at this point, what I like about the Minnesota, and I have gone over and benchmarked them, is their year-round operation and how they're really getting to their grassroots messaging and helping them build more activism and being sure they have strong volunteers. You know, I really think a decision about if we're going to change from being a party like we are right now, we do not get involved in any elections, primaries. And I'm not, you know, our gubernatorial, for instance, we're going to have a primary and we're going to treat all of the candidates that run on the Democratic ticket, as long as they're Democrats, we're going to treat them all equally. And that's what I think is very important.
Is Mike McCabe a Democrat?
So I've met with Mike McCabe. I did bring him in. I did talk to him about, you know, what he's going to do, and he'll be making that decision, you know. And if Mike McCabe runs as a Democrat and he's talking about our Democratic platform and he's standing up for those things, then we will, you know, welcome him and treat him just like any other Democratic candidate. The key here is that when someone like Sheriff Clark, who doesn't say anything that is Democratic, that doesn't believe in the values that we believe in, that is actually having people, you know, that are dying in his jail because he is not ensuring that proper procedures are being followed, you know, that's not a Democrat. And he may put himself on our ticket, but we will come out against him. But here in Wisconsin, we stay out of primaries and we let the people pick who their representatives are. And I don't see that changing in the future, in the near future at least.
So far, we don't have anyone that has held elected office running for the Democratic nomination for governor. And yet I talk to people and they think it's actually going to be a crowded field. Do you think it's going to be a crowded field for governor?
Yeah, I think there's an awful lot of interest, and I'll tell you why. People are so deeply concerned about what's happening in our state, and that's been for years now, but now at a national level too. And people are looking at things and saying, you know, maybe I need to get involved. And so we've had a lot of interest in this, people coming forward and talking about it. And we're just being sure that we're answering people's questions. We're directing them to people that can help them go through this process of making a decision. And I anticipate that we're going to have a primary. I think we're going to have numerous people running that are very good candidates. And we're really excited about that.
The Bernie-Hillary divide. Where would you put yourself in that divide? you supported Keith Ellison for chair against Tom Perez. Where would you put yourself in this spectrum in the divide in the party?
I think the issue for me and where I got into my trouble, as you remember, Sly, was that I originally had said that I would, you know, I was not going to put my superdelegate towards anyone until after the primary. And I changed my mind about it to say that, you know what, I shouldn't be doing this at all. I should just get behind whoever wins the nomination nationally. And the reason for that is it's my job as chair to bring everybody together. You know, Democrats have a big tent and we have a lot of different ideas and potentially different candidates. We had two phenomenal people run for to win the nomination of the Democratic Party. And I, as the chair, I should not be getting involved in picking sides. I should be welcoming all the great people who want to support those candidates. So I right now am just working to be sure that we bring people together. And that happens when we really talk about the issues. And, you know, a good example is Sheboygan, where I am. You know, we have an Our Revolution there, group there, and a great group of people that were Bernie supporters, you know, and they want to get active. And then we had the Democratic Party there, and they both came together and got involved to help get our wonderful superintendent of education, Tony Evers, across the finish line. And it's that kind of work where we come together and people start to get to know each other and find out that we really have a lot in common. And I think a lot of the challenges of the last election will start to dissipate away, and it already have.
You saw what happened in Montana the other day. Now, before on election day, Tom Perez was on with Chuck Todd on Meet the Press, the Daily Show on MSNBC. And Chuck Todd kind of raked him over the coals saying, hey, why didn't you invest money? And why didn't the DCCC invest money into this race early? Why didn't you invest money into the race in Kansas early? Why didn't you maybe pick a candidate with a little more stature? Montana's a very winnable state for Democrats. And Perez sort of danced around it, but does the National Party still not get that some of these populist states like Montana and maybe certain districts, even in a state as conservative as Kansas, are ripe for the picking?
No, I really think that the Democratic National Committee is, you know, they're hiring staff, they're bringing people together, they have a vision and what they're doing, and it's really in building the grassroots. They want to create that grassroots infrastructure. And I know, you know, as the chair of Wisconsin and being involved with our association as state chairs, the DNC is working with us to say, what can we do to build stronger infrastructure? They're helping us with a resistance summer. And we here in Wisconsin are calling it Turn on the Off Year. We're going to be sure that we're getting people out to talk about the issues, to be sure that seniors know that, you know, the Republicans' health care bill, that if we lose the Affordable Care Act and they would get their bill in, right now their bill would increase many seniors' health care costs by 7 times. I mean, these are frightening things, and we need to be sure that information is getting out there. And I know, you know, from my contact, I know that that's what their goal is to be working on building that grassroots infrastructure. And that's what we need to do to start finding great candidates to run and to be sure that every state is capable of supporting those candidates and that we're investing in the right places.
And yet there still seems to be sort of this profiling, and that the Democratic Party is becoming the party of urban areas, of areas that are accelerating economically with new high-tech jobs and people with college education, much like the district that's near Atlanta that will be up for grabs here in a couple weeks. And the Republican Party, oddly enough, considering that Donald Trump has not drained the swamp and he's filled his cabinet with people from Goldman Sachs and his policies are antithetical to people in West Virginia and Kentucky and Arkansas, the base of the Republican Party now is become more the blue collar. Do you think that are you worried that the National Party, though, is still sort of playing along with those demographics?
I can see that what the Republicans have done, if they've reached out to these people and they've given them promises that they aren't going to be able to keep. I mean, Donald Trump is not going to make America great again with the cabinet that he's put together. He can't get anything done. He can't even follow procedures, you know. So we know that we as the party need to be there to tell people that, you know, when big money, when people pour money in to try to convince people to vote in a certain way, and those people don't deliver on the promises they made, which they're not going to deliver. They're not going to help the economy. The economy isn't going to get better with the plans that they have. When those people see that things aren't changing, then they're going to be looking to someone else. And we're going to be there. The Democratic Party is going to be there. You know, I hope you're right,
because Scott Walker still has found a way to get the votes of a lot of people in rural Wisconsin. And we're going on, you know, this is two full terms, him, of an absolutely miserable record.
But he's underwater right now. I mean, we know that he's not doing well because people are so frustrated by what's going on here. Business people are looking at him. They, you know, he was supposed to be the, we're open for business, and business people are looking at him and just saying, you know, this is horrible. I mean, the things that he's doing, his attacks on the universities, people know that's not going to help us. We have businesses out there that really need skilled trades workers, and he's not doing what needs to be done to help us, you know, be sure that we're connecting young people with these positions that are great paying jobs. You know, there's a lot of things that Governor Walker has done wrong, and it's caught up to him, is that people thought they could trust him, and what they're seeing now is they can't trust him.
Well, what he's done is put people into poverty, and now he wants to drug test them for the crime of being poor.
Yeah.
It's really very disheartening.
Yeah, and he wants to do that. He worries about that, but then, you know, pre-existing conditions, the fact that somebody gets cancer, he literally considered, to even consider this, it's absolutely appalling to me that he would even consider saying that, sure, when that bill passes, then, you know, we'll make some waivers here so that we don't have to offer insurance to people with pre-existing conditions like we currently do under the Affordable Care Act, so that it's possible for them to get insurance. I mean, that's just a horrible thing to do to people, but clearly also shows Scott Walker for, you know, what he is. He's here to help the insurance companies. He's not here to help the people.
All right. If people want to go to the Democratic Convention to be a visitor, how do you go about that? What are the hours going to be this weekend?
So it's going to be, it's on Friday, June 2nd and June 3rd. It is, our registration starts at 1 o'clock for people who are delegates. You can sign up to be a guest. There's a fee to come to the convention to help us pay for the convention, and you can go on withdems.org. I believe you can still sign up as a guest there. But there's going to be great speakers and a lot of tables there that you can check out all the progressive Democratic groups that are coming to welcome the guests of our convention. And we'd love to see people out there.
And the hours on Saturday?
Hours on Saturday, registration's in the morning, and I believe it starts by 9 in the morning. And don't quote me on this slide, but at 9 in the morning, and voting starts at about 12:30, so we'll be all wrapped up by 1 or 2.
All right. Martha Lanning, Chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, thanks for being on with us today.
Thank you so much, Sly. It's always great to chat with you.
All right. This is Sly'sOffice.com.
Sly'sOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, 5 more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.